This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Lakers down by one. 5 seconds. Lucas got it. 3 seconds. Teardrop. It's no good. Tipped in by LeBron at the buzzer. LeBron tipped it in at the buzzer, and I think it's going to count. They'll review it, but LeBron may have just saved the day for the Lakers.
John Ireland on the Lakers Radio Network. Welcome to the show. Everything coming up LeBron James in the last 24 hours and 24 years or so.
Well, he had one special day. I was wondering, did he use all his good mojo for one day to get it all out there? And now is the season basically over? Like, it feels like LeBron won the title yesterday, the midweek title.
LeBron peaked. Big day for LeBron James. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. So good to be back, feeling a lot better. Thank you guys for covering for me for the last couple days where I just was devastatingly ill. But I come back to LeBron being pretty bad for three quarters. I thought maybe he caught my norovirus. But then in the fourth quarter, comes through clutch. They win a game on the road against the Pacers. But the bigger thing was this big, huge sit-down interview that he did with the Pat McAfee show yesterday. And a couple things about it. Listen, I was waiting, Pearl, and waiting and waiting. I'm like, man, we're 45 minutes into this interview. I mean, geez, we're back to the decision and Bronny. And what is this actually about? It's about a podcast. Of course it is. It's about season two of LeBron's podcast. That's what the whole setup for the interview was. He's got season two of his really in-depth basketball thing. It's going to be with Steve Nash. So that's what it was about. I think the most interesting thing to me about this was LeBron, a couple things. LeBron kind of going into more detail about why he was screaming at Stephen A. Smith courtside at the Laker game about the Bronny stuff. Okay.
Well, what do you mean he went into more detail? I heard the same thing. It's just don't go after my family.
Yeah, I guess like what it actually was about. So it wasn't about Bronny not playing well. It was just about the fact that Stephen A. said, LeBron, as a father, you know, you got to like get him out of there or something like
right.
that. Like there was no you know, this is the one thing about LeBron where sometimes he can be really insufferable, and I understand that. But the one thing about Bronny's heart condition that they always do bring it back to, that does make me have a little bit of sympathy for the family and what they were doing, because that was a real legitimate cardiac arrest that a lot of, you know, he's lucky to be alive. So,
but I'm going to go back to this. We're going to rehash the Stephen A. conversation. Is what Stephen A. said about LeBron and Bronny that different than what 98% of the media said, that Bronny should not have been drafted by the Lakers, that LeBron forced this entire thing? That's basically Stephen A. just in Stephen A. fashion took that a little further. And I think LeBron didn't really I don't understand the major distinction. Why is LeBron picking out Stephen A? I didn't get an answer to that. Like, what about everybody else? McAfee made fun of it, is made fun of Bronny. You don't think everybody's made fun of Bronny.
Yeah,
that's a thing.
I think LeBron kind of goes after who he wants to. Listen, he said, let's actually play this man. Can we play cut four? Why he went after Stephen A is because Stephen A is on an all-time heater.
He's like on a Taylor Swift tour run right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're watching it. We're awesome. Mm-hmm.
It started off with, I didn't want to address it. I wasn't going to address it. But since the video came out, I feel the need to address it.
Hey, you would be talking about it.
Are you kidding me? If there's one person that couldn't wait to the video to drop so you can address it, it's your ass. Like, seriously.
And LeBron, to be fair, like giving Stephen A more of what he wants, which is more oxygen, addressing it. Now Stephen A gets content and then we get like a whole another 24 hours or whatever off this thing.
So are you saying they're in cahoots here?
No, I don't think they're in cahoots. I think, you know, listen, LeBron also went after Doug Gottlieb about this too, right? And was kind of rubbing it in Doug's face that his Green Bay, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay team was doing poorly. And he used that because Doug was critical. Listen, we've all been critical. I do get it. But he did, like, I think he makes it more about Bronny's heart condition, and that, I think, garners a lot of sympathy. And you realize, man, you know, this is pretty unbelievable that the kid's even back on a basketball court. So that was one thing.
You're clearly ready to interview LeBron based on that take right there. We get him in studio.
These weren't the fastball questions, but again, it wasn't that type of interview. It's, you know, McAfee, they were just, you know, talking about just like they were, it was like a career retrospective in a lot of ways.
Like a podcast or a little bit like the show The Shop. It had a vibe, The Shop, where they're just like five guys shooting the, you know what,
breeze.
Hey, LeBron, we're pulling for your groin.
I wasn't expecting this to be, you know, a crossfire. You
60
know?
Minutes?
No, nothing like that. No interrogation happening here. And to be honest, I don't know if right at this moment does LeBron deserve an interrogation. I mean, the one thing that they really, the meat on the bone that they really left is, did he actually know about the Luka trade? When did he know? When did he find out? He didn't actually tell us anything about that. He went into, Luka, he's great. You know, we're the ones who have to revolve around him, all that. What did you know? When did you know it? That's what I would have tried to nail down if I were McAfee, but, you know, he's got a different style.
You meaning, like, did LeBron sell out AD? Is that the
I just want to know, because everyone says this was such a closely guarded secret, and I think that it would also maybe indicate where LeBron's relationship is right now with the Lakers, which I think is very good, but did they actually freeze him out of this? I find that hard to believe, and I would have wanted to know.
I just think the whole scenario is weird. Basically, we had a player physically threatening a reporter. I know Stephen A is not a normal reporter, but that was kind of a physical threat. I saw Stephen A saying he was about to swing at LeBron yesterday. I'm like, yeah,
very
right.
Very interested to see how that would end.
Yeah, that was a bad idea.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, First of all, I would have swung on him. It's like, and you would have hit the floor really hard.
Off the weed.
The worst thing that could have happened is he actually makes connection with LeBron. Like, he would have broken his hand on the abs. Anyway, that wasn't going to happen. But we have a player sort of physically threatening a reporter, and 75% of the media is with the player. That is an unusual dynamic, and I think you saw that dynamic play out yesterday. LeBron is not just a player anymore. He's also kind of, I always watch that, I'm like, wow, this guy's in the media. He could be a great color analyst. It feels like he's simultaneously looking back at his career while he's still playing.
Yeah.
Feels like he is almost a producer, kind of like Micah Parsons is the head editor, BR Gridiron. This is a weird dynamic going
That's
on with
president
LeBron,
to you, by the way. That's president to you.
President.
Sorry, yeah. President Parsons.
But I mean, there are.
Why not him?
There is a world where if LeBron wasn't LeBron, where people would have really had a major issue with him towering over a little Stephen A and saying, don't talk about my son.
I think that just goes to show that what people might think of Stephen A.
Like, could be.
Do you have it coming if you're going to be a loudmouth like that and you're going to build your brand off being a loudmouth and then someone finally steps to you? You know, you got to be ready for it. You can't be shocked.
Is that no move?
A little bit like the dynamic when the Rams quarterback Jim Everett went after Jim Rome. Nobody.
All time moment.
Yeah. And it's funny, Rome kind of got famous off of that.
Totally.
And it added
first viral
to his
moment of the internet, as far as I'm concerned.
So maybe this is Stephen A's, you know, Stephen A's already wildly famous. He didn't need this, but Yeah, the whole thing is weird. And I just thought that the dynamic of LeBron sitting there so comfortable, I found it a very interesting and fun interview to watch because he was very candid for most of it. It wasn't hard-hitting questions, but it was kind of just fun LeBron.
Yeah, he was definitely turning on the charm, definitely turning on the charisma, no doubt about that. The one thing, though, about it, and I, you know, here's the thing. LeBron will not take accountability for anything. And that was also very clear. So for the LeBron haters out there or people who are sick of him or whatever, he does not take accountability for stuff.
Yeah, he didn't take much accountability for maybe I crossed the line with Stephen A.
Not I crossed the line with Stephen A. Was not even willing to entertain that.
Nope.
And I don't think he thinks he did. I think he thinks I was defending my family. Will not, you know, take any accountability of I definitely moved the pieces on the chessboard to get my kid drafted. And again, he'll go back to the heart issue and, you know, Bronny, and that's more of the, like, you know, sentimental part of this thing. And the kid went through a lot. He will not take any accountability for how the decision impacted people. You know, even going all the way back to this decision, leaving Cleveland, going to Miami, he could not understand. He still does, according to this, he still can't understand why people were ticked off at that. He can't understand why Cleveland fans were ticked off. We all get it from his point of view. I think people have put themselves in his shoes. He did go to a finals with a bunch of nobodies, which he basically said yesterday. He goes, look, go back and look at that roster. He dragged that team to the finals. They got swept by the Spurs. We know that. We've all tried to put ourselves in LeBron's shoes. We get it.
Oh,
he
yeah.
will not put himself in the Cleveland fan shoes.
Yeah.
He will not. So that's like no accountability there. And, you know, again,
not a cardinal sin. I mean, he came back to Cleveland. His actions spoke louder than his words in that sense.
But he's always doing it because he's looking for the next best thing, which, again, is fine, but takes no accountability for, I wonder why fans were so ticked off at me for that. I wonder why they were burning my jersey. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, because you basically went on national TV and embarrassed a franchise. Now, I'm not sitting up here saying Dan Gilbert's a great owner. I don't think they did not have a good team around him. He's right. They did squeeze all the juice out of that lemon. So we can understand why he left. But it's like he's oblivious that anyone could have possibly had an issue with that. It seems tone deaf to me. But it's all in the past.
I have a question about the level of sensitivity of LeBron and maybe the modern NBA athlete. There was a joke. Boston Connor is one of the guys on the Pat McAfee show. He's hysterical, and he's really funny. He asked a question, and LeBron said, oh, you're a Celtics fan. He's like, oh, I'm surprised you're not throwing water on me.
A beer on me.
Now, I know LeBron was just kidding, but I was just thinking about, wow, what if LeBron played in the 80s when there was real violence in Boston towards other players? We saw this show Winning Time about the Lakers where they were trying to turn over the Lakers bus. I was just thinking, is a level of NBA sensitivity a little higher now than it was back in the day? I'm thinking of LeBron. I'm thinking of Kyrie Irving continually kicking fans out of the stands. Are the fans and the media over the line in the way they treat the NBA? In my mind, it used to be a lot worse. The fans used to be disgusting. Pre-Malice in the Palace, there was a lot of really much more even dangerous interactions. I think security has picked up since then. I know the fans can go over the line. There's no doubt about it. But back in the day, NBA players used to handle it differently. And I know media can go over the line, too. But I wonder, is LeBron more sensitive than, say, Michael Jordan was 30 years ago? Nobody said anything bad about Jordan. He was probably super sensitive, too.
Yeah, I think people protected Jordan, too. Right. We didn't know much about maybe the dalliances in his personal life or things like that.
Well, nobody reports, quote-unquote, cheating. That is not a thing now, either.
No, that's a whole other story.
But the gambling, I don't know.
Him, like, being in casinos until 4 o'clock in the morning before playoff games and stuff like that. I mean, it became part of Jordan's, like, legend and lore. If he was pulling off that kind of stuff today, we'd have 100 different camera videos of him sitting at a blackjack table all night.
Yeah.
And he would probably get a ton more criticism.
I don't know. I wonder if there's the NBA players have figured out, and NFL players, other systems to gamble late at night. But regardless, my question is, LeBron sensitive?
Okay. So here's where I think it's just different. You back 70s, 80s, maybe even the 90s, you go to an arena, fans are screaming at you. You know, you go to Philadelphia, they're cursing at you, double birds. It's a hard place to play. Boston, they're yelling even worse than that. You know, the racial slurs and things like that.
Definitely.
It happens in a lot of places, and it's unfortunate. I think what's different about today is you also get it on social media. So it's like, it's not just in the arena now, and someone actually has the stones to say it to your face. Now it's all the anonymous. Now it's all the rumors. Now it's everything that has to do with social. And you can tell guys, hey, listen, don't look at it. But they're of this era. Like, you can't have young guys who have grown up with social media. Like, think about Manny. Manny was born. Facebook was already, what, 5 years old? 7 years? You've never known a life without social media. It's easy
right,
for us to say, because I remember the days of having a landline, and so do you.
Yeah, of course.
You got to imagine, it's like your kids. You know, you're not going to raise someone to be Amish in this era. So you can't fault guys for looking at social media. Even if they know it could be bad for them, they're still going to look at it. So I think it's the combo. It's the what you hear in the arena, and it's social media, and it probably feels like you never get a break.
I actually thought you were going in a different direction there, and those are great points. Players also have a voice that they never had before. You know, LeBron has every outlet he wants. They can have their own podcast.
Sure.
They can, you know, I don't think in the middle of the season Michael Jordan was sitting down for an hour interview on any show. You know, because Jordan's tough to interview. I think the players also are empowered in a way they weren't, which is a good thing. You know, they don't have to take this crap sitting down.
Yeah.
But that being said, I do sometimes feel like LeBron thinks he has it bad. Oh my God, I can't imagine what he would have been like in the 80s. Jordan, I remember in the documentary, like, Detroit felt dangerous for Jordan. Like, they were going to take him down.
Yeah.
To me, it was rougher and rowdier way back in the day.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Are you sympathetic to LeBron?
Are you team LeBron?
Call it now. One other interesting part about this is when he talked about his relationship with Michael Jordan. I thought this is a part where actually McAfee did a good job, where he asked about, like, what is the relationship with Michael Jordan? Manny, can I hear cut 13, please?
Yeah, we're in a good spot. We don't talk.
Why not, you think?
Because I'm still playing. I think I'm still playing. I'm still focused on my craft right now.
When you're done, you think you two will be the only two that can have a conversation?
I would hope so. You know, the funny thing is, like, me and Kobe never had a real relationship either until we was on the Olympic team. We had a great relationship there. Olympic team 8, Olympic team 12. Until I became a Laker and then he retired, that's when our relationship, like, became really, really good. So, like, I think it's because I'm still playing, you know.
More from LeBron about Michael Jordan. While he's still active, he doesn't think there's going to be much there.
MJ's one of the most ruthless competitors there is. And till I'm done... And he doesn't have to look at me run up and down wearing the number 23. And every time my name is mentioned with his. He's like, I don't want to talk to you.
It became personal with me.
Yeah. Very self-aware. I think he nailed this one.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah.
Jordan will have, I think they will have a relationship the moment that LeBron hangs up.
Yeah, Jordan's a psycho. I mean, he's competitive now. He hasn't worn a sneaker in 20 years. Like,
Michael, golf spikes only.
Michael, you can't do anything about this competition anymore. You're out of it. You might as well befriend him. What has Michael Jordan gained by not talking to him?
You didn't think that the whole 10-part documentary series was clearly a rebuke to LeBron?
It definitely was. Yeah. But it's at a certain point, I mean, LeBron's 40-something. I think Jordan can maybe let it go a little bit. But then again, it's Michael Jordan. He will never let anything go.
No, but I do think when they retire, all of a sudden they're going to be, I think, I don't know if tight is the word, but I think that he's no longer like a threat to Jordan, I guess. I don't know.
But yeah, I think LeBron has always been very generous about his praise for Michael Jordan.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, it's not like LeBron. This is a
but he
seems
also
like a
said
one
he's
way.
The GOAT. LeBron said he thinks that after that Cleveland title, that solidified it for him, and that's long before we got to the compiling stats of the most minutes and the most points and the longevity aspect.
Okay, so you think that Jordan heard that and is willing to ignore all the praise for? Okay, I can see it.
Doesn't that sound a little like Jordan?
It. Definitely.
Say 100 nice things and say one maybe not nice thing, and that's the thing.
I took it personally.
Yeah. Nice game, Mike.
Well, in Michael Jordan fashion. Yeah, I took everything personally. I love, by the way, something about retired Kobe. He's everybody's best friend. It's amazing how many people and I do believe he was a mentor to many players, but it is crazy. Like, LeBron is like, you basically text me every day and say how awesome I am. I was like, okay, LeBron had it.
I believe it. I think these guys, it's like a switch at some point.
Okay.
I kind of get it. I believe that Kobe story. I know LeBron's been told a couple fibs in his day, but I actually do believe that Kobe thing. I think Kobe was generous when LeBron got to the Lakers.
Yeah.
You're not buying it.
I don't know.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Listen, we understand everyone's busy with their own lives. You got things going on. You gotta sit down and listen to an hour of LeBron James talking about yada yada.
LeBron is one of us in the sense that he kind of tells tales. Like he's sitting around, I don't know. The last night, again, I was watching the interview, and he acted like he was retired and looking back on his career. He's just so relaxed. It struck me as whatever, you know, I almost feel like anything he does from his career at this point out is gravy. I think he understands who he is. That's sort of my take. I'm like, wow, this guy is so confident, does not have any issues with anybody. It was not apologizing for the Stephen A. thing. He is just fully who he is.
I just
wonder, you don't want to make an enemy out of me.
Is there anything that LeBron can do now to make people like him or dislike him? Like, if you're set in your ways about LeBron, you know, if you don't like that he dabbled in politics, or you don't like that he, you know, didn't have a good answer for the whole China thing back in the day, or whatever it is, is there anything he can do to get you back? Because I doubt it's interviews like
this. No. It's definitely not doing a podcast with Steve Nash, an X's and O's podcast. No, people are, if you've decided on LeBron, you've decided on LeBron.
Yeah, it's funny. Either he comes across as charming, charismatic, or insufferable.
I got 4 or 5 texts saying, oh my God, he is such a jerk for what he just said about Brian Windhorst.
We'll get into that. Yeah.
So there, and I think that you've made, you know, you're either team LeBron or you just don't like the guy.
I just wonder now, are you set in your ways? Like 888-710-4ISN. This dude's been literally a part of our lives for, I would say, 22 years, but it's been longer than that. 22 years in the NBA.
Right. There was the
St. Vincent, St. Mary's TV games. Like Bill Walton was calling those games.
Yep.
I mean, he's been famous for so long.
And I want my damn respect, too.
According to your math, he's been famous 5 more years than Manny's been alive.
Is that wild? Manny has not known a world without LeBron James being famous.
I mean, Manny, you were born when Facebook came out, right? That was 2000.
I had a MySpace page, so do what you wish with that information.
That's an upset. I would have thought MySpace had come and gone by
the time. I didn't even have a MySpace page.
Were you a fetus having a MySpace page?
Like, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Said were you I was, 5?
More or less, maybe 7 years old. Had Daddy Yankee as my my music when you got onto my profile.
Amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Was it Gasolina?
Yeah. Facebook formed, by the way, 20 years ago. Manny is not 20 years old.
I am 27 years old.
Yeah.
I know, but do kids have Facebook pages at 7?
No, but you said you weren't even born when Facebook came out. I'm like, we make Manny younger every day. Like,
please make me younger.
Do you remember, you weren't born when LeBron went to the Heat in the first time around.
You should have been there, Manny. It was crazy.
The decision was crazy.
888-710-4ISN.
LeBron, you mean Kyrie Irving's teammate?
Yeah.
Everyone thought he was going to your Knicks, and it didn't happen.
888-710-4476. LeBron James, your thoughts. Are you team LeBron or not? Let us know. We've got a lot to do. Hey, happy opening day, everyone. For real this time. Happy Sweet 16, everyone.
Opening day, free agency is today in the NFL? Yeah. What?
Major League Baseball. We're going to talk about it.
No, that can't be right.
I am having a very bad day.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Manny, what was that music fact you were just dropping? This is the top song the week that LeBron came into the NBA?
Yeah, the week he debuted it, Baby Boy by Beyonce at the top of the charts.
Wow. 2003 or 4? Which
2003,
year? 2003,
yes.
2003.
Two heavy hitters, LeBron, Beyonce. Been in our lives for a long, long time.
And they're on the same run, basically.
Still making hits.
They're still trudging along.
Well, trudging. I think they're kind of, they're still
steamrolling,
dominating, I guess.
I'm not getting into the Beyonce thing.
More on Beyonce than Bronny.
Yeah. I'll do a tour that's going to...
Is this...
And Levi's.
Mega numbers again.
And Levi's.
Is the Luca LeBron Lakers the country album version of LeBron's career?
I don't know, but man, I'd buy a million pairs of Levi's if I could actually look like that in those jeans, but...
There's a billboard of Beyonce in those Levi jeans not too far from our studios.
It's, she's done more for Levi's than Levi Strauss himself.
Mm.
888-710-4ISN. We're asking you about LeBron. Is there anything you can do at this point that would change your mind about him? The big sit down yesterday with Pat McAfee show. And, you know, either it's funny, it's a Rorschach test. Either you listened to some of this and you thought, man, LeBron, like, so comfortable, as you said, so comfortable in the spotlight,
yeah, I mean,
has avoided major scandal despite being basically a child star and been in the spotlight for so long. I mean, not like the type of scandals where guys really go up in flames. Avoided all of that, is still really good at what he does, cares about what he does, seems like a good parent, all of that stuff. Or you watch it and you're like, this insufferable fool. I mean, still, again, like, we get it, enough with the brand and the, you know, there's, I think, two ways.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know if avoiding a scandal is what we're talking about. Like, oh, he hasn't been arrested. That's the bar.
Well, I think kind of. Not the bar, but, you know. Amazing, to be honest.
To me, he's really, really leaning into Steph Curry, Petty King lane right now, which is because Steph Curry's the same way. Great parent, never has scandal. But a lot
not
of people.
Not nearly the pressure, though, that LeBron had coming into the league.
Right, but we're fine. Like, but people call him the Petty King. It struck me as LeBron, like all of us, has like normal resentments. Like, to be honest, I think LeBron should be above this whole Stephen A. controversy. Like, what does he care what somebody says on ESPN? Stephen A.'s trying to fill the A block. LeBron knows that. He's going to be doing the same thing in 3 years.
I'm the Petty King.
Yeah. LeBron knows the game. Obviously, as he said, he knows the game. I'm surprised he took that so personally when the entire media industry was making fun of Bronny. He just picked out Stephen A, feeding right into Stephen A's ballgame.
Yeah,
I said nothing offensive about him.
Let's go to the phone. Stephen is in Birmingham, Alabama. Stephen, are you team LeBron?
Not really. But I mean, I'm 50 and grew up with, you know, the Celtics and Lakers and the Bad Boys. And, you know, you take LeBron and drop him in Detroit for a weekend and you have Laimbeer and Sally and Rodman. And then the whole rivalry with, you know, L.A. and the Celtics, you've got Parrish and Bird. Just, you know, Larry would just tell you where he was going to go and make the shot. And he didn't care either. So, you know.
So, Stephen, you really don't think LeBron would have been good in the 80s?
He might have been, but
okay.
I mean, basketball has changed so much since then, too.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's part of life. I mean, things change. But I think that, you know, it was more pure back in the 80s, you know, that, you know, you would let them play if,
yeah,
game. How many Celtics, you know, Lakers series went game seven and, you know, the Lakers had to win it in a garden or they had to go to
Stephen, listen,
LA and win it.
I get what you're saying. I think there's a nostalgia for the old time basketball for sure. You know, to call it more pure because you could armbar guys,
yeah.
I don't necessarily agree with you on that one. Here's LeBron himself disagreeing with the notion that he couldn't play in some of the older eras of the NBA.
I wouldn't be able to play in any era. It's funny you hear some of them older guys like LeBron James couldn't play in this era.
Never been fouled by Bill Laimbeer before.
Yeah,
nope.
Yeah. I think I seen like Dennis Rodman say that one time. He was like, LeBron James, not skilled enough. Yeah, not big enough. He's not, doesn't weigh enough. He's not strong enough.
Can't handle it.
Nah, I'm like, okay.
See, I understand making that argument for Steph Curry or something like that. Maybe. LeBron not being able to play in other eras, I do not understand that. 6'9", plays at what, 240? He is big enough.
Like
he is strong enough, and he is skilled enough. So I never get that argument with LeBron. Maybe with some of the smaller guys or just pure skill guys. I don't know.
But we've never seen him actually mix it up. We've never seen him get strangled and then throw a punch at Bill Laimbeer. I think he would have to be a different player. He would be, I think the point LeBron would probably agree with this. Oh, I might have had to fight a little more back then, which we haven't. I just think we haven't seen it. Of course, if he came up in the 80s, he would have had a totally different style.
But is that like a negative on him? Like, I don't
see
that as like a, that's like a black mark. It's like you never got into a all out brawl on a basketball court.
I do think I'll represent the old school here. It is a little bit easier for LeBron because you're not allowed to just tackle him like you used to. And I know he's huge, but it would have been annoying to LeBron to have to deal with Bill Laimbeer. I think he would be a different player. I think he would have fought back more. He definitely would have won titles. No doubt. I mean, he's 6'9", 240 and runs a 4'5", 40.
Like, too small.
Even guys back then couldn't handle that. And also, it was less three-point shooting, which is not LeBron's forte. He would have been in good shape there.
Jay's our pal in Nashville. Jay, what do you think? Are you team LeBron?
No, it ain't even got to do with all that, whether I'm Team LeBron or not. It was a good interview. I'm kind of like, I'm officially like, I've never listened to McAfee's podcast, but I think I'm converted to the McAfeelian Temple of Christ or whatever now. Cause, oh. I mean, it was only McAfee can make somebody so polished be so candid. I ain't even never heard LeBron curse before.
My dog.
And like what LeBron was saying about, like how everybody, look, I'm 51. I just turned 51 last week. And you know what I mean? I'm not dumb enough to let my nostalgia make me just talk delusional.
Right.
And he's right. He's like you were saying about Giannis. If Giannis is playing back at Bird in his day, he'd be a monster out there.
Yeah, it'd be nuts. They wouldn't even know what to do with him.
They wouldn't know what to do with a dude like that. You're right, Maggie.
Dude, they're
enforcers all over the league. Rick Mahorn would have given him 15 elbows a game. They know exactly what
Giannis is fast enough to blow by him.
Oh, you're crazy.
Skilled enough to pull up. Can dunk from beyond the free throw line. Like, good luck.
They took Jordan. They hit Jordan every single play.
Yeah, and they'd foul out in 5 minutes.
No, they didn't. They didn't foul out at all. They would just give him I'm not saying it would work, but they would hit Giannis so many times in a game, Giannis would have to adjust and play differently. Now Giannis just flies up and down the lane like no one. I mean, you can't play defense like you used to. They call that.
Can I finish my last point, please?
Please.
Okay, first of all, I mean, Giannis would have been Euro-stepping him all day. But anyway, and he'd been banking threes on him. They wouldn't know what to do with that. But let me finish this point. As far as the Stephen A. thing, and the Perloff, I hear you talking about the media, protecting the media and stuff like that. But I've been saying it this whole time, just like LeBron was saying. If the media right now has got a silver tongue, and just because they got a media cloak to hide behind right now. And it's the reason why I rock with you and Maggie. You know what I mean? Because you guys don't get out of bounds and talk disrespectful and hide behind that cloak of we're the media. You guys are still respectful, even in your criticism. Now, what LeBron was saying about Mad Max, what I mean? Or Charles Oakley. Stephen A. would have got his ass whooped a long time ago if it had been back in the day, since we want to go nostalgic.
Here's the thing, though. People want to pretend like the media and stars had no friction back then. They definitely did.
Remember Deion Sanders dumping a whole jug on that one reporter after that World Series? I think it was World Series.
Yeah, Tim McCarver.
You couldn't do that these days. They'd be like, oh, my God, he dumped the Gatorade on a reporter. That was a travesty, you know what I mean?
You had players on the Mets who filled water guns full of bleach and was spraying it at reporters. Bogues, who was that?
Exactly.
You don't remember
this?
You
got me.
Wow, that sounds like a crime. Dangerous.
Yeah.
It was.
What if you got a guy in the eye?
Yeah, to me, that's a little bit too far right there. But
I said nothing offensive about him.
Oh, yeah, but really to me, LeBron, really he made like, not only Stephen A, he made Stephen A look like a complete twerp. And that's like the perfect four-letter word for him right now. And all the TikTok is going in on him. And Stephen A will probably hear this. And they'll jump down. Well, the soliloquy of the sensitivity and the negativity of it. Like,
I am having a very bad day.
Wait, Jay, you're the best. We got to get to Bogus's update, but point made.
All right, y'all.
Totally.
Love you guys.
Okay. Love you too. See ya.
Love you too.
Love you too. I feel like sometimes I say that when I'm getting off the phone with people who I don't mean to say it to. Yeah. Does that ever happen to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, Brett Saberhagen, 1993, admitted July 27th.
93?
Yeah, I know, Manny.
That's
a long time.
Too recent.
Bleach spraying incident in the Shea Stadium clubhouse. There's been friction between reporters and players forever. I don't think it's any worse now.
It's definitely better.
Isn't that LeBron's point, though, that like if you did talk crazy or do anything, that these guys were crazy enough to actually do something? That's his point.
Right, but I... right. Yeah, yes, and that you would have to like suffer the consequence of it. I don't think that it... But it obviously didn't... It's not going to deter certain parts of the media from...
That part is fair.
Getting personal, right? Like it's just something that the players had to deal with then, and they still deal with it now. Also, the media world has expanded a lot, right? I think that the players themselves have to be a little more discerning on what's media and what's just social media. A fan putting stuff out there is not the same as the beat reporter for The Athletic or what have you.
So. Oh, absolutely. Can I just go back one thing and defend the 80s guys? In 1988, the year of the Bad Boys, they played Karl Malone, Akeem Olajuwon, Patrick Ewing, Michael Jordan, Dominique Wilkins, and Charles Barkley in their prime. You don't think those guys are comparable to Giannis? You don't think David Robinson?
Those guys also were superstars in the 80s.
Right. I'm saying Giannis, of course he would have been a superstar, but I think did LeBron say he scored 200 points a game or something?
That was the 70s. That's a little different.
Yeah, he said the 70s. He scored 200 points a game.
Oh, okay.
Which may be true. I don't know.
Well,
270 is a lot, but he'd be really good.
They kept coming back to Cousy, who was actually more in the 60s.
Yeah, 50s. 50s even. Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I thought they were going after my 80s guys.
No one has clue when any basketball players played. He said 70s. Pat Magnus, yeah, Bob Cousy, right?
I'm but like, then, no. He brought up Vern Maxwell and Robin, who were very much
that's
80s, 90s.
Yeah, it was all over
Plumbers
the place.
Environment. Yeah.
It's just anything that happened before the year 2000.
Bob Cousy, they didn't even invent dribbling with your left hand when Bob Cousy was playing.
That is correct.
I'm waiting for George Mike to be mentioned. I didn't know what was going to happen.
And Jay said Eurostep. If they had done a Eurostep in 1978, people would have think he was an alien dropped in from outer space. They would not have known what that was.
They would call it travel every time just because they didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, they would have been like, what was that?
Though my dad always says, the guy who actually really invented the Eurostep was Bernard King. Bernard King used the Eurostep all the time.
Oh, really? Because Manu Ginobili kind of gets credit for it.
I know, but watch a lot of old Knicks games. That was one of
the things. Is that who gets credit? It's more Manu. There wasn't a Europe. He's the first Europe. Well, he's not Europe, but
played in Europe. But yeah,
he's Argentinian. But I think he's the one who gets credit for the Eurostep. I always thought so.
Yeah,
and then
definitely.
Harden kind of took it to a new level. Bogish. Hello.
Hello, guys. Your headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. After all that talking, LeBron did some winning last night in Indiana.
Lakers down by one. 5 seconds. Lucas got it. 3 seconds. Teardrop. It's no good. Tipped in by LeBron at the buzzer. LeBron tipped it in at the buzzer. And I think it's going to count. They'll review it. But LeBron may have just saved the day for the Lakers.
John Ireland on Lakers radio. LeBron only scored 13, but those last two snapped LA's three-game slide, 121-119 over the Pacers. Luka threw in 34 points, 7 assists. The win gets LA even with Memphis for fourth in the West. Also of note from this game is this, courtesy of Spectrum Sportsnet.
Take a look at Austin's shoes. Now, this is a gender reveal for Austin's brother, Spencer, and wife, Casey, okay? You can tell they are pink. Austin is an uncle-to-be. I'm not sure if his brother actually knew he was playing professional basketball in Germany, but this is how they were going to find out. So I want to say congratulations on the gender reveal for Uncle Austin here for his family, Spencer and his wife, Casey.
My assumption is the brother knew that Austin Reeves was going to wear the pink or was going to wear some colored sneakers last night. I don't think he surprised them with a gender reveal. So wherever he was in Germany, I'm sure he was aware of Lakers Pacers and was looking for what was on his brother's feet.
I got to be honest. I'm just happy that this didn't involve some kind of firework, fire getting started. These gender reveals have gotten so out of control. They're like a health hazard at this point.
Yeah, I do like... And the other thing, too, everyone's wearing pink shoes, so are these all gender reveals going on around the NBA?
That would explain a lot.
At least only Austin Reeves was last night.
Remember when Jalen Brunson got hurt and Maggie comes in and goes, wow, those are awfully pink, flowery shoes he was wearing.
I just said it looked a little, it was like, I noticed the visual.
Yeah.
It's like these happy-looking shoes and
all
the grimacing
NBA.
Look on his face. It was like, it was a weird juxtaposition.
I think there's many gender, every night you could see a gender reveal in the NBA, I guess.
Back to the adults playing basketball. The Celtics extended their win streak to 7 last night, 132-102 in Phoenix, 30 points for Kristaps Porzingis. The Bucks didn't have Damian Lillard or Giannis. They lose in Denver, 127-117. And the Sixers lost quickly to the Wizards last night, down 45-29 after one. It was a 119-114 final. And his name came up on the show last week. One-time March Madness darling Ali Farukhmanesh just got a promotion to head coach at Colorado State, replacing Nico Medved, who took the Minnesota gig.
I was actually thinking, is my phone listening to our conversations that Ali Farukhmanesh has come up after we brought him up last week?
Yep.
Except that you called him Ali Farukhmanook.
I did call him Ali Farukhmanook, but I was doing it right off the top of my head. I couldn't remember exactly what his name was. Yeah. I know it now.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm really psyched about this guy because that's a seminal moment, that shot.
Yeah.
I mean, That and Bryce Drew, the two guys. Sure. I guess you hit a game winner, you get to coach.
Eventually, yeah. Like 10 years later.
Derek Queen will coach.
I might get Chris Jenkins' job.
Yeah, right. Where is Chris?
Probably an assistant coach. He's probably going to get hired next week.
Well, that Nova job's open.
Oh, I know.
It's still open, right?
Yeah. It is.
I think Willard's just waiting for it.
He's yeah. like, can is we that
lose?
An upgrade?
Can we, he's like, can we lose anytime soon here so I can just go to Villanova?
Is Villanova an upgrade over Maryland?
But
you don't have to compete with the football program for money, I guess?
He seems to think that Maryland are a bunch of dunces that have no money and don't know what the hell they're doing. At least it seems like every time he opens his mouth.
Yeah. He is embattled. I've been following. I don't understand this Kevin Willard-Loxley war there. I will take him in Villanova. We couldn't even
will.
Get... Will.
I know. Any Wait, college in the state of Pennsylvania, Perloff gets to...
Villanova.
Gets to claim.
Come on, that's mine.
By the way, according to the always trusty Wikipedia, Chris Jenkins is a student athlete development assistant at Villanova. So he's already on campus.
I mean, they owe him a lifetime job.
Yeah, the next coach is going to have to keep him on staff.
Totally. That's just, it's got to be, this is the guy you pay for the no-show job.
And have him just
shake some hands and kiss some babies.
Yeah, he's a feel-good
guy. Do some
gender
reveals.
By the way, and you laughing at that Sixers loss, that was key. The Wizards were major competition in the tankathon.
Yeah.
This was great. Me and my friends were all high-fiving last night, all night long. They were terrified they were going to beat Washington.
Hey, clap your hands.
Play the song.
Play for a loss.
Oh, in a big, big way.
That would be great.
Clap your hands.
You're lucky this song's such a banger.
Dr.
888-710-4ISN. Ask you the question, could LeBron have played in any era? You let us know. 888-710-4476. He said he could. We've got plenty of football for you, and we get back to the LeBron stuff in a moment. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We're talking about LeBron James. Gave a big sit-down interview to Pat McAfee that aired yesterday, and he claims that he could play in any era. And implying that he'd be this good. In any era, 80s, 90s, doesn't matter. Let's go to Bill Pearl, who's in Houston. Bill, do you think that's right?
I absolutely think that's right. Has there ever been a player that 6'8", 265, or 270 that is that athletic where I told your screener he's like Wes Unseld, but he can play almost like Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. So his athleticism would transcend any era. I generally hate the generational arguments because in 40 years, things have changed so much in every sport. I mean, defensive linemen went 260, 270 in 1984, and look at them now.
Yep.
So that's my opinion. The other thing with his son, since LeBron has lived his life in the spotlight and he has taken – he's not used the media, but he has worked with the media to make his brand. Then when your son is out of college or out of high school, it's like my dad told me a long time ago, you're on your own, son. And I don't think he needs to be involved in media criticism or anything else. He should have taught his son to be able to react to stuff like that the right way and leave it at that.
Yeah. Bill, it's a great point. And to be fair to Bronny, and thank you for calling. I think Bronny does take it pretty much in stride. You know, he did an interview recently. He goes, yeah, I hear it. I'm a human being. It fuels me. It gives me more motivation. Actually, I thought Bronny had a better response to it than LeBron did. You know, LeBron confronting Stephen A, like in a game, is definitely going to get a ton of attention. I think it was Papa Bear, just kind of that the dad part kind of overwhelmed him. And in some ways, as a parent, you understand it. But LeBron definitely fueled this thing and made it worse.
So how come when I came into this whole situation and said, this is going to be cool, like the Griffies. Like, I even said I might get emotional during the first game. That didn't happen at all for some reason. And you all laughed at me.
We did.
So now LeBron's allowed to be the protective dad. But when I brought this up as an emotional, sentimental thing, I was scoffed at.
Yeah.
Scoffed.
Guffawed. Yeah, we definitely scoffed at you.
I don't see the connection.
No. My point is, like, now, not that you exactly do it, but you say, I can understand him being a dad. Right. Well, how come coming into this, when he forced the Bronny situation, we didn't all understand that as being a dad?
So I guess here's a little bit of a difference. I didn't love the Griffies because I don't think that comparing Bronny to Ken Griffey Jr., that is not right. Ken Griffey Jr. was the number one pick in that draft, generational talent, came into the league and was awesome. Bronny was cut the line. You know,
well,
Bronny needed all the help in the world, so I didn't love that because it's not same.
Regardless, so I think you're right. You thought that LeBron forced this situation. We all did.
Yeah. The other part is, I think what Stephen A. did cross a line and got in trouble is when he said, brought up Bronny's like stats and stuff and said, you're embarrassing your son and you have to stop it.
I said nothing offensive about him.
Well, you know. Like minds can disagree.
I think thematically what Stephen A. was saying is not unique. I think it's in the same ballpark as what a lot of media people said.
That's fine, but he's like, I'm pleading with you as a father. Like, we're all, you know, it's
everybody, when Bronny went out and struggled, everybody said, this is not working, get him out of there. Everybody said that.
Yeah.
Everybody.
I think it was the way that Stephen A. said it. I do.
I don't know. I feel like if LeBron was really paying attention, a lot of people have said a lot of things about this situation. And I don't know why he went out. I thought it was a mistake to, like, don't give it Stephen A. that kind of oxygen.
Brad's in Oregon. Brad, only got a couple seconds here, but do you think LeBron could have played in the 80s?
No. I'm glad you're feeling better and you're back. But, Perloff, I think you're 1,000% right. You know, back then with Willis Reed and Lanier and those guys, when you drove the key, they hit you. That was their area. You tried to post up, they leaned on you. You're a smaller man against the bigger guys, and they just kept hitting you. And to take off and want to try to drive the basket, no, I don't think it would have worked out. And I think that the centers nowadays, they go outside to guard the other centers to open it up for them. I don't think it would have fit in there.
Brad, thank you for making the point. Ooh. Succinctly, too. Brad, getting in onto the network break.
I know. Pro Brad, I love it.
Our callers are the best. Could LeBron have played in the 80s and the 90s? Let us know.